This is Wells Tech, a weekly show exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. Your hosts are Sally Draper and Martin Spriggs. Wells Tech is produced by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Welcome back to Wells Tech. This is episode 543 recorded. Actually, we're recording on March 28th, but releasing the following week, just a little bit behind the scenes information. So I'll be out of town, but we're here for you anyway. And joining me when I say we, it's, of course, the talented, beautiful Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you this afternoon to talk about an awesome April we have planned for our listeners.
What do you mean by that, Sally?
Awesome April is going to be themed to look at awesome apps. So we're all about mobile this month and spending focus time each week on different types of apps that are useful for all types of ministry purposes as well as personal purposes. And we're kicking off the month-long discussion with a look at photo, all things photo, apps to help you with your photos.
Right. Yep. I think that's one of the primary uses of phones today, right? It's not for making phone calls anymore. It is for, you know, taking pictures. I saw a couple of surveys. It was social networks, it was photo taking, and it was email. I don't know if they were right in that order, or text messaging, text messaging / email. And there was probably another one in there too, but those were the big ones. And one of the reasons I think for that is the cameras in some of these phones, these smartphones, are really good. And probably when we're talking about a show about technology and ministry, cameras suitable enough to capture photos for website displays or putting in newsletters or all kinds of other ministry purposes, putting on Facebook or whatever your social media strategy is. Perfectly good, I think, cameras sitting on these smartphones that really help us produce content and get the word out about whatever ministry is going on in our organizations.
Yeah, I just... you know, sometimes God puts things in front of you that you think, wow, that was perfect timing. And he had to have shown me this, but I just read a blog article over lunch that talked about an odd use of photography or something that you wouldn't necessarily think of. And that is just publishing royalty-free photo libraries on your website. We've done that using Flickr with our Wells Tech Challenge album. But the concept was so many great photos are on your phone that you could share for royalty free. And what it would do is drive traffic to your website. So maybe that's a great way to get people introduced to your church or school website to offer some royalty free images out there. I just thought that was a really neat twist on it.
That is interesting.
Kind of capitalizing on the quality of the photos on your phone.
Yeah. And not only the quality of the photos that you can take, but some of the editing that you can do and some of the management tools. So those are kind of the big three categories we're going to be talking about, the cameras themselves, the management, and then the editing, and then of course the sharing, you know, of those, as you mentioned. So maybe the first place to start, and this is probably just common sense, but you know, the camera on your phone, they take different shapes and sizes. If you have a modern iPhone, when I say modern, I'd say in the last two versions, you might have two lenses even, which is kind of cool because that gives you kind of a wide angle lens, which has always been the standard. But then if you've got two lenses, the other lens is probably a more of a portrait lens, gets you a little bit closer, a zoom lens. And that's always going to be better than kind of the pinch and zoom, get in close tighter, because if you're just doing that with the single lens, you're really sacrificing or could sacrifice the quality of the photo. So if you have an option to zoom in with a second lens, go ahead and do that. The other option would be zoom with your feet. Get as close as you can to your subject. And that's a good general rule of thumb too. When you're taking pictures, the closer, the better. And I think for most pictures that we're taking for ministry purposes. It's going to be of people or events where you want to get as close as you possibly can versus, you know, let's get all 60 people, you know, from the choir, you know, in one big shot where you look at that on a smartphone or, you know, on a website and they're, you know, they're a millimeter tall, you know, each of their heads, and you really can't see them. So the closer, the better. But again, those zoom lenses are good rather than the pinch and zoom to get, you know, to get closer. A couple of other tips when you're thinking about taking photography is that most phones today support the RAW format, which means it's taking a picture and getting all the information. It's not doing any real processing or downsampling or modification to the photo. What RAW does then, once you get it into an editing tool, is allows you to adjust some of the things in the shot, including exposure, including light white balance, so that you can actually tweak the photo without kind of destroying the information. So you have a lot more control over it. It may not look as good coming right out of the camera, taking things in RAW, but it gives you a lot more editing capabilities if you edit in it. And it's going to be all the information that the lens can capture or the sensor can capture, which is going to give you a better shot at a good photo.
Yeah, good stuff. And all of that comes typically right there packed into the standard photo app on the iPhone. There's, you know, a photo app that comes standard. I'm sure it does on other phones as well. But there are apps that extend the capabilities. So they built more into it than they really give you access to in the standard app. Martin, do you have a favorite that extends the capabilities of the camera?
I think there, maybe the easiest way is just to kind of go through some of the apps that I use on my iPhone. And that might be the easiest way to do this. So I'm going to use a little tool, and I'm just going to give you a little bit of a preview of my pick of the week is a tool called Reflector. And I'm going to show my iPhone for those of you watching at home. Let me see if I can get things on the screen here. You get to see all of our show notes here too, which is kind of a behind the scenes look. But you see I have a folder on my iPhone, which is a technique that you can use too. If you use a lot of different tools, sometimes a good way to collect them is to put them in a folder. So I have something called Photo and Video. So if I go into my Photo and Video, these are some of the cameras some would call me a camera collector because I have more than one camera that I use, but they use kind of different things. So I can show you just a couple of them or talk through a couple of what things that they can do. One of the things that I like to be able to do with whatever camera I'm using is to adjust things as quickly and easily as possible. The last thing you want to do when you're taking a photo is to stumble around and try and figure out where the settings are. So one of the big wins for a camera app in my mind is something that the controls are easy to get at. So the button's easy to grab, the exposure, the focus, those kinds of things. And Camera Plus is one that I really like. It's the one that kind of sits at the top of my folder. And one of the reasons is that it allows for quick and easy focus and exposure. And not only if you're familiar with the iPhone or Android phones, typically you focus. So I'm just showing my keyboard, by the way, for those of you listening at home. So I focused on the K key. So that zooms right in and kind of gives you a crystal clear view of the K key. But then it also gives you the option to set the exposure at the same time. So there's a little plus button that appears. And if I click on that, then I get another kind of symbol that I can drag around. And what this will do is I can change focus and exposure separately. So if I wanted to change my focus to the L key, but then I wanted to pick up maybe the exposure of a different portion of the photo, you probably can't see that real well on my screen, but you can do these separately so that you can say, well, I want the focus to be here, but I want the exposure to be taken from a different area of the photo. And this is good for backlight situations, something mm-hmm. like that, where you maybe want to have more fine-grained control. And on this app, you can even do that with a little slider at the bottom of the screen. And then it has all the manual controls as well. Or you can quickly go back to auto as well. So you've got, you know, these are all right on the screen. You don't have to go into sub menus, those kinds of things. I think it's just real easy to use. Another app that I like and I use quite a bit is for low light situations. And this app is called Slow Shutter. And Slow Shutter is nice because what it does is it gives you three different capture modes: motion blur, light trail, and low light. And I use low light quite a bit. And you can kind of tweak the settings to get as good a picture as you could possibly get in some of these more challenging situations, like indoor especially, where you can change the shutter speed. So for instance, here on this app, I can change the shutter speed by number of seconds or milliseconds. So if it's really dark, I can go, you know, all the way up to 60 seconds. And you're not going to want to handhold a camera app to try for 60 seconds to try and get a clean shot. You're going to do this with you know, a tripod probably. And we should probably even talk about those kinds of accessories that you can add to your phone, your camera phones later. But so I always carry, if I'm, you know, serious about taking photos, I'll carry a little GorillaPod that will attach to my camera, and I can kind of plop it down and then set some of these settings. You can change the ISO settings, get more light into the picture, noise reduction, as I mentioned. You can do some really cool things with this, with motion blur and light trails as well. Just a lot of capabilities here. And then when you press the shutter button, it remembers that and just gives you some nice, you know, some nicely lit creative photos that you wouldn't have been able to get otherwise. And I think those are the big ones. We'll talk about some photo editing apps in a minute here, but those are the ones that I think I use probably more than anything else.
Another area that you want to be concerned about when you're doing mobile photography is storing those photos. You know, having them on your phone is great, but oftentimes you want to get them somewhere where you can access them on other devices or download them for printing purposes or to share with other people or whatever. And I think, Martin, you and I would agree that probably the go-to place for us, at least, is Google Photos. Very easy to set up a sync with your phone so that any picture you take automatically gets copied over to Google Photos. And you can also, I think maybe with a setting in Google Photos, you can tell it to save the full version of the photo as opposed to kind of a scaled back or downgraded version. And in that case, it's going to take up some of your storage space on your Google account. If you go with the smaller version, which is still a really great quality and really large dimension image, they don't count the storage of it at all towards your storage limit on your Google account. So that's what I personally do. I don't pay for the extra storage or whatever with the number of photos that I have. But, you know, that's kind of personal preference.
And if you're not doing anything in print, I think that's fine. If you're just doing web or social networks or those kinds of things, the resolution that they're storing for you is more than enough. So I don't see any issue with trying to go that route. If you're shooting raw photos, those kinds of things, then you're probably not going to be able to use Google Photos to save those, but you have other saving mechanisms too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would totally agree on Google Photos. Whether I'm using an iPhone or Android phone, the thing about Google Photos is you can usually make it the default way to set it up so that defaults to syncing your photos. So when you take a photo, it's going to automatically grab it, upload it, and then you've got it. And Google Photos is really easy to share stuff with too. And they've got some nice editing tools. It's just a really quality product. And I think it's far better than, you know, just using, let's say, iCloud or some of the things that come with the local cameras and the local phones. So.
Yeah. Shifting gears just a little then, if we go into what you can do with your photos after you've taken them, the editing side of things. I know you probably have some recommendations, Martin, that are a little more technical as far as editing, light balance, and all kinds of fun things like that. Mine are more on the fun side of things. So should we dive into technical first?
I'm not very fun. No, I can do that. I'm going to share screen again real quickly here. And I think that This time I'm going to go to the iPad because I find editing photos on the phone not to be that great of an experience. I mean, it's a little bit small, and the iPad is really good at that kind of thing. So on the iPad, I also have a on the iPad, I have a whole screen full of photo editing apps. And maybe on the more technical side, and I don't know if I'd call this first one real technical, Snapseed, and you probably have used this too, Sally. When you use Snapseed, you kind of have to get used to the interface because you have to go, you have to swipe up and down and left and right to kind of get at some of the things that you want to do. But once you've got that, you've got all kinds of different options. So Snapseed, I think, is a Google product, so it works really well with the Google ecosystem. But perhaps the most technical of all the ones that I use is something called Affinity Photo. And Affinity Photo is kind of a Photoshop competitor, except they have a really high-quality iPad version. So they have one for the Mac. I don't think there's one on the PC side. I may be wrong about that, but I think there's just Mac and iPad. But it is really a nice tool, especially when you're talking about doing any editing on the iPad. And one of the nice things about it is they have just a ton of tutorial videos. And then even on screen here, they give you lots of help. So if I just press the question mark here, it pops up with all the text of the like tool tips for all the icons that are there. And when you look at some of these very complicated editing tools like Affinity, who knows what a lot of these icons mean, but just by holding down that question mark, I can get a little bit more help about what all of these things do. And there's full layering with this tool and tone mapping and all kinds of filters, those kinds of things, brushes. One thing that they do a really nice job with is the ability to get artifacts out of your shot that you don't want in there. So if there's a telephone pole or somebody walking across the street in your shot or a stray car or whatever, they make it really easy to get that kind of thing, you know, just totally out of your picture with just maybe circling the area and hitting a button and it's gone, just kind of almost like magic. So I really have only good things to say about Affinity Photo. It is not a free app. I didn't look it up beforehand, but it's not in that Photoshop price range either. And as I mentioned, the tutorials that they have are just awesome. I mean, you have row after row of these, and they walk you through exactly how to do different things, blend modes and replacing the sky and retouching and getting rid of red eye and cropping and straightening and editing raw photos and adjustments, and filters, just all kinds of stuff. It's just a real quality product. They keep it up to date. And if you're interested in kind of taking your photo editing to the next level, I'd say Affinity Photo is really a great app for that. And then the last thing, let me do two more. And these are in the Adobe suite. And maybe, Sally, you were going to mention these. Sorry if I'm stealing your thunder, but I use these a lot. They call them Spark applications. And Adobe Spark, these are free applications. One is called Post and one is called Page. The Post is great at making things, as you can imagine, for posting to social media. And they give you all kinds of templates and just kind of nice tools that will enable you to build something without a lot of effort. So if I go into my post, you can see some of the things that I've done with pictures that I've taken. And it's as simple as determining what the screen or the dimensions are. And if I actually just start a new one, it'll tell you, well, pick the photo and it'll say, well, what shape is it? Should it be a square for Instagram? Should it be, you know, elongated for a header on a web page, those kinds of things. And you just have all kinds of images. And you can change the color of the text, the theme, the style, all those kinds of things are just super easy to take care of with the tools that are available, right within the app. And then it's easy to publish these as well. So you just connect these to your account and you push them out there. So just a really cool tool that gives you all kinds of editing features, layouts, just a lot of creativity that you can build into this. So I would say this is actually a lot of fun to use. The other one's a very cool product, which I haven't used a lot, but I'm interested in getting to know a little bit. And that's called, let me go back one time, Spark Page. And its sweet spot is basically creating interactive pages or web pages that you can publish, but they're kind of photo-focused. And they have all kinds of examples or inspiration. So if I just open up one of these, what it does is it allows you to mix images, video, text, links, hyperlinks. In fact, I'm thinking about actually making a presentation with one of these for an upcoming workshop that I'm giving. But it acts like a web page, but it's all very visual, very smooth, and as you scroll up and down, you can kind of see the interactivity that they build in. You can build in collages, you can add text, you can add videos, just a nice presentation of content. I could see, vacation photos or other kinds of tutorials with screenshots. They've just done a super job with putting this together. And then once you're done with the production, which they make really easy, then it's easy just to share it out, to share the link out. So they actually host it for you, so you don't have to worry about hosting it on a page. You just send out the link. People come to the Spark page that you've created, and they just can page through it. So they've really dummied this down for really anybody to do that, and they've given some nice templates in the process. So I'm excited to give this a try.
Awesome. Well, now it's my turn for the fun stuff. One day, I have it on my bucket list to understand all that technical stuff that you showed, especially the overlay of all those commands. That's but cool. My apps on my phone are much simpler to work with and fits me. I'll just put it that way. So one of my favorite ones is called Prisma. And Prisma allows you to bring in your images and apply different effects to them. And they just have some really cool ones. One that I go to a lot is called Mosaic. And it takes it and almost makes it look like a stained glass window, which is a really pretty effect. And I don't know if you remember, but our last podcast, Jason really excited me with a hashtag, app smashing, because I'm all about, creating something in Prisma and saving it to my photo gallery and then bringing it into a different app. So another one that I really like is called WordSwag, and I can access my camera roll in WordSwag, and from there I can bring in whatever image. Perhaps it's the one that I just modified in Prisma, and again, just like the apps you demonstrated, it gives you different dimensions that you can crop the app to.
Post. Yeah, very similar. Nice.
Yeah, and then once you do, you can add text as overlay. So I had typed in previously, "He is risen." That's showing there. But the thing with WordSwag is they have all these beautiful ways of displaying the text. And you can play with kind of different versions of it depending on which option you choose. And there's a ton of them to pick from and come up with some really kind of professional layouts for your text that, make it look really nice. So maybe I take my Prisma image and then I add my overlay with WordSwag and I save that image, and that's what I end up sharing on social media, kind of a mashup of the two. Another app that is here and available on mobile is Canva. We actually talked about that last week in terms of presentations as well, and as you were showing the Adobe products, it reminded me of Canva and all the different layouts that they have. And again, sized for different uses and things like that. And you can, bring in your own imagery to Canva and replace the images that they're suggesting in the templates that they provide. So one more worth mentioning, and I have several. I do have some collage apps that I enjoy. I particularly like PicCollage. But one that I use a lot is FreePrints. And if you haven't heard of that, we haven't talked about it in a while on the show. Basically, you can just choose different images in your camera roll, in your Google Photos, or on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, and they will send you print copies of those. So this is the easy way to get prints of your imagery. And they do, I want to say, a pretty large quantity for free. You pay for the postage on that. They have a connected app called Free Photo Books where you can make photo books with your images. And again, you a certain level of it, you just pay the postage and can get the images for free or the book for free. So those are a few of my favorites in my photography folder.
Very nice. I would not call those basic. Those give you just some super quality output. I'm really impressed with how those work as well. I've not heard of WordSwag. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a nice one, and it has some really high quality layouts and things. I think they're basic in that I'm probably controlling very similar things to all those million things that you control. I just don't have to understand them all. I can just do it by pushing the button, and it happens. So,
one of my best friends is those video tutorials, and I probably don't
know
90% of the features that are there, but the it does give you the power to do that if you try to. So, cool. Anything else we want to share in our awesome apps focus? Get it? Focus on photography.
I think we've covered a lot. I do have a link for a GorillaPod stand. So one of those nice tripods you were mentioning earlier that'll hold your phone.
You mentioned it?
I sure did.
Oh,
we're on the
scary.
Same page there. So,
scary, yep. Scary.
Just check out the show notes for that.
So are you an Instagram user?
I am an Instagram user, and I actually have multiple
accounts. What's your workflow
accounts.
There? Do you run that through something other than the built-in filters within Instagram, some of the tools that you were talking about?
Yeah.
How do you normally use Instagram?
More app smashing. So, yeah, it just depends. Maybe I do the Prisma, you know, effect or whatever, because their filters and effects are a little bit different than what you can get with Instagram, and then just share it, or I may bring it into Instagram and apply additional filters there. So just depends on my mood. But yeah, you can get really creative with your imagery.
Yep. Very cool. We probably, we talked a lot about iPhone apps, and we showed iPhones and iPads, but one of the good phone or the one of the good camera apps for Android, which is also on iOS, is Visco, VSCO. That's probably kind of at the top of the heap as well, but I would highly recommend that. If you have an Android phone, don't feel left out. That is, I guess the point is, you know, take a look at some of these apps because they do provide you a little bit more control, a little bit more power, and it'll get you maybe a little bit better photo that you can use as well. So give those a shot. Sally, where there was some news in tech this week that we wanted to share with everybody, some Apple news.
Yep, Apple has announced a new iPad specifically targeting education. It's funny because we just had this conversation with Jason in our show for last week where Google had come out with a Chrome OS tablet. Apple came out with a tablet for education at the same price point. However, it doesn't have the pen included. The pen is still, the stylus pen is still $99 extra. I think Rachel Feld used that as her pick of the week recently and said it was
pricing,
well worth it.
I think they did chop off $10 for educational pricing for the Pencil. But other news, Logitech, they're partnering with Logitech, so they're putting out their own Pencil for $49, so that is another option. So here's, I think Apple's, you know, recognizing that Google's been eating their lunch, you know, in the classroom, and that they need to try and claw their way back in there. I don't know if this is going to do it or not. I think there are certainly applications and maybe more creative options when you're using a tool like an iPad, but at that price point, they haven't really dropped it. It's still going to be a challenge to kind of trump a Chromebook, which comes with a keyboard, and the iPad that they're advertising or they're coming out with, still you'd have to add the keyboard to that, and then the pencils extra as well. So it'll be interesting. And they talked about some other products as well. I don't know if I'd call it course management software, but something that kind of competes with Google Classroom. So give assignments, receive assignments, some administrative tools that they were kind of sorely lacking, so multiple users can log into to one iPad. And that's probably more the use case, because you may not have be able to afford a one-to-one scenario with iPads like maybe you can with Chromebooks. So it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out, but more options. So if you're looking for some things that an iPad might be best suited for, maybe this is good news for you. So.
Yeah, I guess one perspective, and again, you'll have to wait and see how it plays out, is has Google captured us so and ingrained us such in their space that we would be willing to make that change? You know, we heard Jason say that smart boards maybe aren't the thing to have mm-hmm. these days. You know, people right. want to invest their money in other places or whatever. Are people ready for something different and you know, willing to try the iPad route or whatever? I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in schools.
Yeah. And since Google is such a monster right now with
mm-hmm. schools, exactly.
It's going to be hard to, I think,
crack that nut. Yeah.
Yeah. But it makes sense to try and get in there, because you get the kids invested in your technology, and they're mm-hmm. going to take that with them to the workplace and into adulthood. And you've got a lifelong customer, at least a better shot at a lifelong customer than if you weren't there at all. So
right.
Interesting. I know that a lot of the young people that I talk to, people that we even hire here in the Senate office, very comfortable with, you know, Google Docs and those kinds of things. And, you know, the young teachers that we see in our schools are coming out of Martin Luther College, very comfortable with that technology. And, you know, they don't need Microsoft Word or, you know, some of those tools. They've got everything they need right in the Google ecosystem. And that comes from using Chromebooks and using Google Apps for Education.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sally. Wells Now is the next segment in our show.
And I have a screen to share, because we wanted to feature the Wells Lutheran account. That's the official account on Instagram for Wells. And it's a great account to follow. If you're on Instagram and looking for people to follow, check out Wells Lutherans, because you're going to stay up to date on different happenings throughout the Synod, as those good folks in communication services cover all kinds of different Synod events, so you'll feel like you're there in person with different events that are happening. They've got video out here. They've got multiple images connected with some posts. And most recently, they were promoting the upcoming youth rally, international youth rally, that's happening this summer. So, yeah, lots of good stuff out there on the Wells Lutheran
Synod and Instagram.
Pictures. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And I am once again going to share my screen, because I held back on you guys. I didn't mention another favorite photo app of mine, and that is Google Street View, of all things. So you're used to maybe using Google Street View on a mobile device to see a place that you're looking for as you're driving around the country or whatever it may be. But it actually does have a little camera included with it, so you can use Street View to add pictures. And you may or may not actually want to publish them in Street View, but you can take them with the camera that's included. And what's special about it is it's a 360-degree camera, so you can create photospheres. So you do that by holding the camera and letting it take a picture. And then once it takes one, it kind of guides you to take more. So as you move the camera around, it's taking more and more pictures of the area that you are looking at. And eventually, if you follow all of its directions, you end up with a sphere of photos that it kind of stitches together for you and produces a whole 360-degree view. So when you save those, it spends a little time stitching, and then produces this 360 degree. And the cool thing about it is you can use it with Google Cardboard and actually do the virtual reality thing with it as well. I did one earlier of my whole office, and you can drag up and down and see different angles of things in my office just by
including
the
your
fact.
Husband over there.
Yep, he's over there hard at work at his desk. And yeah, so you get the whole effect. And you'll notice up in the upper right area, there's a cardboard view. So you could click on that, and it actually transforms it into the dual view that works with the virtual reality viewers. Right. So you can, you know, be immersed in the experience. Now, I could see churches and schools doing this kind of thing to give people a tour of their environment. I've also heard of people doing it, you know, on school field trips so that students that aren't able to be there can actually experience some of the special places that they visited. And again, it's just a simple app. It's actually Google Street View on your phone that allows you to take these 360 degree photos. So pretty cool, kind of an Easter egg that they embedded there in Google Street View.
So when, how would you publish this on your website? Would you just post it to whatever player Google provides and then you link to it? Or
yeah, you can actually publish it to Street View. And that is one way to do it. I think I have one that I can link to as an example that was taken outside our house during a snowstorm, but you can also save it as kind of a flat image that people can move around to see it, kind of like flattening out a globe or whatever. It's it's not the 360 turnaround kind of thing, but it is an image of the whole room, so or the whole area.
Quality you think is good?
Yeah, they do an amazing job with the whole stitching together thing. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, neat. Good pick. My pick of the week is something I alluded to earlier. It is called Reflector. They're on version 3, and it's what both Sally and I were using, if you were watching the podcast today, to show our devices. So she was showing her iPhone, and I was showing an iPhone and an iPad. But that doesn't stop there. This is not a free app. It is $14.99, but there also is an education version. There's a reflector for teacher and a reflector for student, so there's the ability to bring this into the classroom. The neat thing is that this kind of mimics AirPlay, Google Cast, and Miracast on your computer. So you can install this on your Mac, your Windows device. Now they've also made it available for Android and Fire TV. And it becomes a source from which you can cast or play your screen, which is nice if you're trying to demo like we were. It's also nice for just getting something maybe on a bigger screen than the small screen. So if you've got something that you wanted to share with a larger audience, this is a great way to do it. And when they first started with Reflector 1, and I think even Reflector 2, they didn't have all the versions that they have now. They started just on Mac, but now that they're on all these platforms, it becomes a really viable option in the classroom especially. So the model would be, so you've got your computer up in front connected to the projector. You could take your iPad and then load up your YouTube videos or your PowerPoints or whatever and be walking around the classroom and just be casting your iPad to the front, to the big screen, or whatever device. It could be a Windows PC or a Windows tablet. All of these kind of work together now. So this is a company called Air Squirrels, and they have just kind of solved this problem of being able to take your small screen or another screen and send it up to a larger screen. So take a look at this if you're interested in, you know, kind of doing that kind of stuff. They're really quality products. I've never had any problems with them. The price is very reasonable, and there's a 7-day trial. So if you're wondering whether this is going to work in your setup, give it a shot. And it's just as easy as doing AirPlay or casting from a Chrome browser or whatever it is right to the big screen. And I'd say the resolution, I have had zero complaints about it. I don't know if you've had any bad experiences with it, Sally, but I've been really impressed with just the raw quality of the tool. It does work over Wi-Fi, so you need a pretty decent, you know, capable Wi-Fi connection. But beyond that, just a quality product. That's Reflector 3 is the latest version from Air Squirrels.
Great pick. All right.
Where are we? I got to go back to my notes.
I think we're going to ministry resources. That's right. And I should share my screen, and we'll have a link in the show notes to an article from our friends at Church Tech Today. Lauren Hunter is always coming up with great content over there. And this one is about untangling audio cable confusion, which is a good topic because there is a lot of options.
There is a lot of confusion on this thing. I do get a lot of calls about what to recommend for soundboards and, you know, all those kinds of things. And I think one of the challenges that a lot of churches have is they don't have an audio technician or somebody with a lot of experience to know, you know, what cables go with what. What does unbalanced mean? Do you select mic or input, or just a lot of, I think, wondering, you know, do I have this set up? What kind of cabling do I need? What's the length of the cable that I can use? You know, these cables look the same. Why am I not getting the sound I'm supposed to be getting? Shouldn't this be in stereo? You know, all those kinds of questions. And I think a lot of it goes back to the right cabling. So we thought we'd share this little article about a little bit of education on what cables do what. So if you're into the audio thing at your church, but you're maybe in over your head, this would be a good article to start with. So
pass that along. I think that's great. I remember my husband picking up some of these ends and looking at them, and the ends have meaning, whether they have one ring or two and all this. And
there's
no clue what he's looking at. All looks the same to me. So good stuff. I'm going to jump over to sharing my screen to show a quick look at our video of the week, which is from our friend, President Mark Schrader, Wells President Mark Schrader. He has a 2018 Easter message for us, and you'll want to watch the video and hear the uplifting message that Pastor Schrader is sharing.
Very good. Awesome App Month gets off to a roaring start with our focus on photos. What are we going to do next week, Sally?
Well, next week we're
going to focus on.
We're going generic with our title. We're calling it utilities because there's a whole bunch of things that help us out in a lot of different ways. So we're going to take a look at all those different utility type apps.
Can't live without app utilities on our phones and iPads.
Who knows what will be included, but it will be an interesting discussion, I'm sure. And we'll be sharing our screens, so tune in for video too.
If you like, but we try and accommodate our listeners as well. We're trying to talk you through, but it is App Month, so we're going to share some apps. That'll be show 544, and I'll be back from a refreshing vacation and maybe with a little bit of a tan headed down to Florida where there's no snow and inclement weather, hopefully. So
looking good deal. Enjoy your travels.
Absolutely. Thank you all for joining us. We will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.